Welcome to our 19th Sunday of the Pentecost Worship Podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and Our Savior's Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota. This is Pastor Olana, October 8, 2023. We began our service in the name of our God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truths and teach us, for your God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. Let us confess our sins. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new right and a spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen. Since we confessed our sins, now hear the absolution. Our Heavenly Father has had mercy on us, and through Jesus Christ has set us free from sin, death, and the devil's power. Through the faith installed in us by the Holy Spirit, we know, and I declare as an ordained servant of Christ, that you are forgiven in the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sing praise to God, the highest good, the Author of creation, the God of love who understood our need for His salvation. With healing balm our souls He fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God
our reading for this Sunday are the following. The first reading is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. And the epistle reading is taken from the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through 14. And our gospel reading is the gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verse 33 through 44. Let us pray. Gracious God, you give your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love and grant us the fullness of your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God and now forever. Amen.
Let your word to me come near. Newborn life
The devotion for this morning is brought to us by Pastor Robert Stoneman.
A blessed day to you. This is a Bible study of the epistle lesson for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. We begin with prayer. O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word as written by the Apostle Paul. Strengthen our faith and increase our love as we again study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week, we continue our short series of readings from Paul's letter to the Philippians. The letter to the Christians in Philippi is known as the letter of joy. Joy is a key factor in this letter, which was written while Paul was in prison in Rome, waiting for his hearing before Caesar, which could maybe lead to his death. Some might become downcast at such an experience, but Paul finds joy because of the opportunities he has to speak the gospel to groups and individuals he might not have had otherwise. He seems confident, however, that he won't die now, because he perceives that God has things for him to do yet before he dies. In fact, he seems to indicate he might be even able to come back and see the Philippians again. In the meantime, he is concerned for them because he hears that they are facing opposition to being Christian the way he taught them, and that is what we hear about today. We read in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at the last half of verse 4 through 14. If any other man thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as refuse, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which was based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Thus far the reading. Opposition to the Christian way of life by the Philippians was coming from a group of Christians known as the Circumcision Party. They felt that Christians should be bound by the laws of the Old Testament, which started with circumcision. Paul is pointing out in our text that one is not saved by keeping Old Testament laws perfectly. One is saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul demonstrates that he could not save himself by his exemplary life as a Pharisee. In fact, he writes that whatever gain he had, he counted as loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, all his good works according to Old Testament law had to be done away with, and he had to rest solely on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who had earned that righteousness for Paul by his suffering and death on the cross. This is how Paul puts it, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Paul's opponents attempted to say, as a Christian, you do not know what you're talking about. You do not know what it is to be a Jew. So Paul sets out his credentials, not in order to boast, but to show that he had enjoyed every privilege which a Jew could enjoy and had risen to every attainment to which a Jew could rise. He knew what it was to be a Jew in the highest sense of the term, and had deliberately abandoned it all for the sake of Jesus Christ. He is not condemning Judaism from the outside. He had experienced it at its highest point, and he knew that it was nothing compared with the joy which Christ had given. He knew the only way to peace was to abandon the way of human achievement and accept the way of grace. By grace, God gives Christ's righteousness to us by faith. It is his gift to us by faith. We do not earn it by our works. Paul follows that up by writing about Jesus Christ's resurrection and what part that has to do with our righteousness by faith. For Paul, the resurrection was not simply a past event in history, however amazing. It was not simply something which had happened to Jesus, however important it was for him. It was a dynamic power which operated in the life of the individual Christian. We cannot know everything that Paul meant by this phrase, but the resurrection of Christ is the great dynamic in at least three different directions. The first one, it is the guarantee of the importance of this life and of this body in which we live. It was in the body that Christ rose. It is in this body we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit so that we can live the life of righteousness by faith. Secondly, the resurrection is a guarantee of the life to come. Or as Jesus said, because he lives, we shall live also. His victory is our victory. And third, the resurrection guarantees that in life and in death and beyond death, the presence of the risen Lord is always with us. It is the proof that his promise to be with us always to the end of the world is true. The resurrection of Christ is a guarantee that this life is worth living and that the physical body is sacred. It is the guarantee that death is not the end of life and that there is a world beyond. And it is a guarantee that nothing in life or in death can separate us from him. To know Christ is not to be skilled in any theoretical or theological knowledge. It is to know him with such intimacy that in the end we are as united with him as we are with those whom we love on earth, and that as we share their experiences, so we also share his. In Paul's teaching, this personal union, noted by Paul's phrase, united in Christ, or to be found in him, that personal union is a basic reality of salvation. To be in Christ is to be saved. It is to be in intimate personal relationship with Christ as our Savior. And from this relationship flows all the particular benefits and fruits of salvation. Union with Christ is not simply an experience in the past, but a present, continuing relationship, and righteousness by faith is a principal benefit of union with Christ. Finally, Paul gives a remarkable description of the Christian life, then as a constant and never finishing, straining forward toward that which God's grace holds out to us as believers in Christ. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own, Paul says in verse 12. Paul sees Christian perfection and Christian maturity in just this ever imperfect and ever renewed appropriation of the gift of God in Christ. God's call ushers us into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, a fellowship which grows deeper as it is appropriated and lived and is perfected in the glory of the world to come. It is a relationship toward this the whole Christian life moves, toward the full realization of the hope that belongs to our call. Let us now pray for the spirits to live out that realization. We pray, O Holy Spirit, who has sanctified and kept us in the one true faith as members of the Holy Christian Church, empower us so that we can live out our Christian life and can work together to carry out your will. Help us live with love and understanding, and let us do so with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Let us close our service for this morning with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
When your love shall call us from our struggles.